Genesis 33. Genesis 33. I pray the Lord will be with us. This was an encouragement to me, and it's better than bouillon. This will be good for us. What's happened up until this point? We've been looking at Jacob for a while now, haven't we? Well, Jacob had just wrestled with the Lord. God came to him. God had spoke to him. He came to him, and all night long, he strove. He fought back and was fought, and they wasn't gaining any ground. It was just stagnant, and then the Lord touched him. Remember that? Boop. Just touched him. Popped his hip out of socket. He had a limp after that, didn't he? And he said, I ain't going to let you go until you bless me. And he got a new name. You got a new name. You are a prince of God. You have power with God and with men. Buddy, that's something, isn't it? Lord blessed him. What a wonderful thing that was, and how he must have just been beaming. I've seen people have the gospel preached to them. Boy, they are, happy. They're excited. They got something to be happy about. And they walk out the door. Another trial comes, isn't it? Another trial. Jacob's in a trial again. Again. We'll keep having them. It's going to get worse, too. Genesis 33, verse 1 says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost. He put them up front. And Leah and her children, they were in second place. And then Rachel and Joseph, hindermost, way in the back. And he passed over before them, and he bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children, Esau did. And he said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves there to Esau. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. They bowed to Esau. And after came Joseph near Rachel, near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves, bowed to Esau. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I was met? Everything you sent ahead of time and now. And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough. I have enough. I have enough. Is that what he said? I have enough. My brother, keep thou that which thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. I have enough. I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Esau took it. Tyler's message is two enoughs. There's two different enoughs here. Reads the same. Looks like it's the same English word, isn't it? Wildly different. Wildly different. But Jacob's in a trial, isn't he? I want us to commit something to heart. If I'm here to learn you something, if I'm here to teach you something, I want to teach you something. And here's a lesson I want you to get. And I want me to get, I want us to get. You ready? When the Lord sends us a chastening trial, he sent Jacob a trial. You pay attention to me. When he sends us a trial, now you remember, he chastens who he loves, right? Those he loves, he chastens. It's done in love. If the Lord chastens, it's in love. He said in the Proverbs, he said, if you don't discipline your sons, you hate them. Well, I don't hate my children. God says so. He says so. But those that he chastens, he loves. And he is teaching us something in that chastening. He's not an austere man. He's a father that loves his child, and he loves those that he chastens. That's what he's doing. And he doesn't just bop us on the head for no reason, right? It ain't some father that just comes home and gives you a good whipping and then goes on. He's wise, he's good, he's loving. He does what's for our good, and he does what's for his glory. And he works in us patience through these trials. And he works in us experience, because we have a bunch of them. And hope, that hope's Christ. And hope maketh not ashamed, right? So whenever we go through these chastenings, you hear me? When we go through these trials, when the heavy trials comes, you ask the Lord to show you what he's teaching you. Lord, you sent this trial. Ask him to show you what he's teaching you. Y'all had heavy trials recently. God ain't just being mean to you. You understand that? It's heavy. It hurts. God ain't just... He ain't just smacking his child for no reason. No, he's a heavenly father. He's teaching us something. You want me to cheat and tell you what the lesson is? It's Christ. It's the gospel. That's what he's showing us. So whenever the Lord sends you a chastening trial and you're in the thick of it, you say, Lord, show me Christ in this. Show me the God. That's what you're going to teach me, right? He's going to teach us how to be merciful, long-suffering, how to have joy. Christ is our all. I have to say that because nobody's ever told people that before. I never knew that till a man come and told me. And so I tell you, when you're in the thick of it, when a heavy trial comes, you're like, why is all this happening? God's going to, if you're his, he's going to teach you the gospel in this. He's going to show you the mercy he's had to you. That way you can be merciful to those that despitefully use you. Well, I don't want nothing to do with that. Well, that's your business. I'm just telling you what, telling you what he says. It's a shame thing. Ask the Lord. Ask him. Lord, show me who my Lord is and show me what he's done in this trial. That's what it's for. Jacob's in another trial, isn't it? I want us to look at what went wrong. I want us to look at what went right and what we can learn from this. What's the lesson we're going to learn? That's the gospel, isn't it? That's what the Lord did for us. Both of these brothers, they both said, I've had enough. I have enough. I have enough. But the words have a totally different meaning. They're wildly different. We see there in Galatians 1, when Paul wrote to that church at Galatia, and he said, you come to another gospel, it's not another. Remember us looking at that a long time ago, years ago? Those two anothers spelled the same means totally different. Jacob had just wrestled with God. He saw God face to face. Lord Jesus Christ came down and wrestled with him, hand to hand. And he was bruised somewhat. He got banged up a little bit, but he was blessed, and the Lord changed his name. And he said, for as a prince hast thou power with God. Boy, that's something. And then the morning come, and it's time to meet Esau. And the first thing he does is he stages his family in the order he's ready for them to die in. Put those handmaids up front and her children. And then let's put Leah and her children in the middle. She can be the second line of defense. Now, Rachel, you and Joseph get all the way to the back. They're going to have to kill everybody before they get to you. If Esau's coming, and as the way Jacob thinks he is, he wants to be as prepared as possible for this. I thought, could you imagine being one of them handmaids? Get out in front. I don't feel much love. What about Leah? I'm stuck in the middle. The ugly sister stuck in the middle, isn't it? And Rachel, oh boy, he loves me, isn't it? The actions declare the love. Kevin, I just don't know about those things. Here's what God says. For as he thinketh in his heart, as somebody's in their heart, so he is. As you think in your heart, so are you. What's in here comes out. And Jacob took Rachel, who he loved. He served 7 years for her, and then he didn't get her, and he served another 7 years for her, and he finally got her, and she was barren, and they waited, and they prayed to God, and God gave him Joseph. And then he said, you all get in the back. I love you. And them handmaids says, this ain't fair. He said, I don't care. No matter what you think's fair. Rachel, you in the back. Love does something, doesn't it? I'm scared to death of snakes. I don't want nothing to do. I hate them. Ain't that right, Matt? Matt didn't know it. He come to me one time with a snake, and his pastor didn't act like no pastor, I can tell you that. We was about to grapple out there in the yard, wasn't we? Jared was little, and we was moving a basketball goal at his grandparents' house, and we kicked it back on them wheels and rolled it, and there's a big old coiled-up snake underneath there. And Jared was standing right next to it, and I just grabbed him and put him behind me. And I said, boy, that's love. That's love. I'll put me between you and the snake. That's what love does. And love does something. It might be wrong. It might not be the right thing because we're dumb. We're dumb sheep. But it does something. Love ain't idle. Love ain't idle. It just ain't. We'll see in this 24 hours with Jacob what seems to be like two totally different men in him. Oh, he has great faith and great fear at the same time. Cleave unto the Lord, say, I'll not let you go till you bless me. And then he turns right around and he cowers to Esau. How many times has that been me? How many times I've been blessed? I got a word from God. He spoke to my heart. Oh, what a blessing. Let's set this world on fire. I'm ready. Call down thunder. Let's go. And then walk away still troubled. I hear about where to take my burdens to the Lord, and I don't leave them there. How many times has that been me? David did that. I had a man call me one time, and he said he's just had such trouble with assurance. And he has no assurance. I feel sorry for people that don't have assurance. There's a lot of times I look to me and Cameron was talking about this yesterday, I have all kinds of doubt. But since the Lord revealed himself, do you think he can't save? Well, of course he can. Do you think his word's true? You start standing up a little strong. Of course his word's true. You think he's all powerful? I know he is. What are you talking about? He's God. When we look to self, a man called me about assurance one time, and he just wanted to talk. As a lot of people, they don't want to hear nothing I got to say, and they just want to wait for me to stop talking so they can exalt themselves in their yakety-yakking and their multitude of words, right? Well, then it turned to, he said, I want counsel. So I said, all right, well, I'll give it to you. Here it is. Get underneath the preaching of the gospel. Go find God's man and faithfully sit underneath him. Commit yourself to learning what God's going to teach you through that man. That's going to help you with your assurance. They didn't want nothing to do with it. Well, by the end of it, they're correcting me, and we're more miserable and angry. And I said, hold on, let's rewind 30 minutes. You called me saying you didn't have assurance. I got plenty of assurance. I'm fine. You're the one that's a mess. Why'd you even ask me? You just want to argue, isn't it? Kevin, I don't think you're right. Well, been a lot of times I've been blessed by the Lord and I'm still troubled, right? With flesh, with sin, with me. David was that way. The whole army of Israel was up on a hillside afraid because of some fellow named Goliath. Do you know how big Goliath was, boys? He was big enough to scare a whole army up on a hill. That's how big he was. That's tall. A big fella. David came out and he said, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What's wrong with you all? Who do you think this is? And he took up five smooth stones, didn't he? I looked that up. I don't think I preached about 1 Samuel 17. He took up five smooth stones. It only took one of them. Which stone was it? It don't matter. It's a stone of truth. Popped him, killed him clean out dead, wasn't he? He brought down that giant with one stone. Then Saul comes, and David spends a whole lot of time camped out in caves, didn't he? Scared to death he's going to kill him. Here's a giant the whole army was afraid of. He said, get out of my way. I'll handle this. What's wrong with you? Don't you believe God? Move it. And the next day, next hour, next second, next minute, next breath, I turn inside out, don't you? Elijah did that. He took on the 400 prophets of Baal, and he mocked them openly. He said, why don't you call a little louder? Maybe your God can't hear you. Maybe your God's in the bathroom because he ain't doing nothing. He's tied up. You want me to give him 15 more minutes? And he said, take that altar there and just cover it in water and dig a trench around it and put water in that. And we'll see who sets what on fire. What, by himself. 400 of them. I fought 17 men one time. I was in the military. They was going to promote me, and it's a violent passage of rights years ago. And I said, that ain't going to happen, boys. And I fought and fought and fought until I couldn't fight no more. I said, all right, I give. No, I don't. Try to hook an ankle or something. You ain't going to win. That's all there is to it. I got hog-tied and duct-taped in a room one time. But he took on 400 like it wasn't nothing, openly mocking them. And then Jezebel comes. And he arose and went for his life. He ran for his life. One little woman. Great faith and little faith appears at the same time on some occasions, don't it? Appears in the same vessels. So what went wrong here? Look here in verse 3. Genesis 33:3. And he passed over before them after he had arranged them. And he bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near his brother. Now it was customary there to bow. But this one who had wrestled with God, who is called the prince, who has power with God and men, he's bowing seven times. Once is plenty. He's bowing seven times. Here Jacob bows to Esau in completion. Plumb total. Turned himself over to him. There's a difference between living peaceably with all men and giving honor to those that the Lord's given position to, those that have the reign over us, and whether that's police officers or whatever. We've always told the military, you respect the rank, not the person. I met the general over the chaplains, and I called him sir. I didn't berate him. I didn't get in a theological discussion about why he was wrong. Just hush and go on. I gave the respects due. And so I was thinking for us, if you ever meet the Pope, you be kind, you be respectful, but I ain't kissing no rings. You know what I mean? I'm not going to bow down seven times. Be kind and generous. You understand what I mean? But Jacob bowed down seven times. In verse 8, it says, and he said, what meanest thou by this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. Wrong again. Wrong again. You can't buy grace. I sent all these camels and she-asses and servants and all these things and to get grace in your sight. You can't buy grace. It's unmerited favor. There ain't no price attached to it, is it? You're trying to make up for what you did 20 years ago, if the truth be told. Jacob had forgot, didn't he? Oh, how quick. How quick. The Lord just spoke to him, and he forgot. And we forget. That's why we need those remembrancers. Remembrancers, those that are brought to us to remind us what the word of the Lord says. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. It hadn't been written yet, but that's so, isn't it? That's what we need reminded of. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, and he turns it however he wills. What had happened here? Why did Esau run up and hug his neck and follow him and weep together? Because God turned his heart. He turned his heart. He fell on his neck and kissed Jacob because the Lord did something in him. But Jacob's still trying to buy his brother's favor instead of trusting in God who reigns in the hearts of men. That God he saw face to face. Instead of trusting him to control absolutely every aspect of a situation, he's looking to riches in his own way. Instead of believing God. Do we believe God? Is there a sovereign God on his throne that's not just bopping us in the head? That's not cruel and austere? Is there a loving God that loved his people? Gave his son for them on the throne? Do I act like it? Not as I ought. There's a friend of mine, I tried to get this direct quote as I could. A friend of mine said this one time, faithful man of God. He goes, I believe God. You hear me? I believe God, but I'm sure not going to brag about how I believe him. I ought to believe him a whole lot more than I do. We ought to believe God like Jesus Christ believed him. We ought to. We ought to be able to sleep on the back of that boat when the storm is raging, when the trial is hot and heavy, but we don't. And that's because of sin. That's because of sin. Because of what we are by nature. That's why we don't believe him. But I want to. But I want to. I want to believe him. I want to conduct myself in faith in a way that's honoring to God. And this is not honoring to God. This is not honoring to God. Jacob calls Esau Lord, lowercase. You mean it respectful. But he's not just recognizing his brother as the elder. He's not just being respectful. He's afraid of him. Solomon told us, said, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You're going to be in a trap if you're scared of men. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. When we fear man, we fear everything else. We're scaredy cats. When we fear man, we fear everything else. When we fear God, we fear nothing else. If I can see him, if he'll reveal himself to me. I see him high and lifted up. I see he's on his throne. What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? We paid the IRS a couple weeks ago, and there might be some trouble coming with that. The Lord can turn the hearts of them people. I ain't worried about that. What am I afraid of? As the head of his family, people can like that or not. It's getting worse and worse in our day. God made it so. He's the head of his family, whether he likes it or not. But just as Abraham, we read there in Genesis 18, 19, he commanded his children and his household. And they did what Jacob did. The head of that house is what everybody else did. Whatever they did, that's what everybody else did. Those we have influence over will do what we do. And young or old, somebody's watching. And that's influencers is a common phrase in this day, but everybody's an influencer. What we say, what we do, how we act, and the attitude we have, somebody's watching is going to mimic us and be like us. It says in verse 5, he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children Esau did, and said, "Who are these with thee?" And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. They did what Jacob did. Lord, teach us to, for our sakes, for the gospel's sakes, for our children's sakes, to guard our tongues, walk through this world as people that believe a holy God on his throne. Teach us everything. We need to learn how to pray. They're going to pray like us. We need to learn how to speak. They're going to speak like us. We need to learn how to quit murmuring because they're going to murmur just like us. Where do you think they learn that? They got it. They come by it honest. They got it in DNA and in practice, didn't they? That's a lot of things that went wrong, didn't it? What went right? What went right? We can learn from these things. They did what Jacob did. We can learn from these things. What went right? Every time Jacob says something about what he says, "The Lord's been gracious to me." Everything he has, "Lord's been gracious to me." Jacob was a man that experienced grace. He had experienced grace. And good or bad in execution, it don't matter. That's what was on his mind. Not the woes of life. Not "don't chop my head off" or all the other trouble. "Man, let me tell you about Laban. That fella changed my wages." No, he didn't say that. "Lord's been gracious to me." Why did he talk like that? That's what was in his heart. Lord done a gracious work in his heart, didn't he? And it came out of his mouth. Was it mixed with sin? Yes, it was, because sin's mixed with everything we do. But that's what was in his heart. Grace was. What about all those increases? Remember whenever he was blessed that inheritance with his father? But he left there with nothing. With nothing. Right? Clothes on his back. He was sleeping on a rock when God came to him. Now he's rich. He's got speckled and ring straked and spotted and brown sheep and... Verse 5 says, he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And Jacob says, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Well, you know, it's hard to keep them all fed. He said, "God gave them to me. God was gracious to me, gave us children." Well, what about his attitude towards his enemies? Look at verse 8. And he said, "What meanest thou by all these droves of which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. I sent all those to you to be gracious to you." Why? Because God was gracious to me. He's gave me everything I had. I was just going to give it to you. He says, "If I found grace in the eyes of the Lord, I want to find grace in your eyes too." If the Lord removed all condemnation that I've earned, and he does that for someone else, wouldn't that just solve all the problems? If you got a neighbor that you just can't stand, or a boss you can't stand, or an employee you can't stand, or whatever, just pick somebody, politician, I don't care, whatever. The president. I served this one, and Andre served the other one. What if the Lord saved one of them, or which in them polar opposites you're on? If God saved both of them, wouldn't that make you happy? Wouldn't that solve the hate you have in you? Wouldn't that make it get extinguished some? That would heal all the wounds, wouldn't it? Has Jacob done something wrong? Yeah. Those things are wrong. Poor execution, isn't it? But he doesn't know everything yet. He's only known the Lord for 20 years. He's only known the Lord for 20 years. That ain't long. That ain't long. Jacob's only about 90 years old. That ain't much. That ain't old. We can't learn all the things about an eternal God in 120 years that man's given. We can't get a good handle on it. He's going to teach us some basics, but we ain't going to know all the ins and outs, and we ain't going to walk the way we ought to in such a short vapor of time and compared to an eternal God. We got a lot to learn in eternity, don't we? What about generosity? We see how he treated his enemies and see how he treated his increases. What about generosity? The child of God is generous. They may be poor. They may not have much, but they're generous because God was generous to them. Remember that widow? There was a widow and she had that child with her, and Elijah came and said, "Hey, you make me a biscuit first." He said, "All right. We got enough to make one biscuit." That whole famine, that whole drought, the cruise of oil and the meal never failed. She was generous, wasn't she? Verse 10 says, Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me." I've looked God face to face 12 hours ago. And he said, "I'll bless you. I'm going to give you a new name. I've seen him. Now I've seen your face and you're happy. He's pleased with me now and you're pleased with me. So you just take whatever you need. Take these gifts. You take them. They're yours. It ain't nothing." I got a vehicle out there I had to get around in. And somebody said, "Did you get your new car?" I said, "Nah, it's a loaner." "Ain't mine. That's the Lord's. He gave me every bit of it. It's his. You need it, take it. It's yours." He said, "Take, I pray thee," verse 11, "my blessing is that is brought to thee because God hath dealt graciously with me." You take everything I got because God's been gracious to me. And if he has been gracious, he is being gracious and he shall be gracious. I don't know how it's going to look, but hey, I ain't going to be wanting. I'll be fine. And because I have enough. He was willing, wasn't he? That's what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 8. You got to be of a willing mind. You got to be a willing mind to give. If you don't want to give, don't give. And if you can't do it graciously, don't do it. It'll be a hindrance to you. But that's the grace of God, is to have a mind that wants to give. Paul said, "Of this grace also." "Of this grace also we want to provide for our brethren, make sure they're doing okay." And that ain't all legal tender of United States greenbacks. Provide for them in prayer. Provide for them in checking up on them. "How are you doing? You doing all right?" Looking out for them, loving on them, acting on them, acting on that love, isn't it? We can only give graciously as the Lord has dealt with us graciously. As he's been gracious to us, that's what we can meet with. As he's been merciful to us, if I can't show mercy, I need to go learn what kind of mercy I need first. Whatever trial is going on, just eject yourself from that. It don't matter whatever's going on. You got a soul trouble. We got a problem, don't we? Here's the gospel lesson to us. We saw what's wrong. We saw what's right. Jacob comes to him graciously, doesn't he? This isn't a story about gift giving. This isn't a story about humility. This isn't a story about family relations, though we can learn a lot. This is a story of two nations, Jacob and Esau, right? We read that back in Genesis 25. It says that the children struggled within her, and she said, "If I be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said, "There's two nations in thy womb, two manner of people. There's two types of enoughs." You're going to see it in a second. "And they shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Two totally different people. There's two totally different enoughs here. There in Galatians 1, Paul said, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Who's fooled you, you Galatians? Who's bewitched you? What is wrong with you? He said, "You went into another gospel." That meant, the word there literally means wildly different, which is not another, which means, well, that's close. Well, now they say a lot of good things. Now it's 99% good down there, and I can just deal with that 1%. Paul said, "You're a fool." That's not just close. They say horseshoes and hand grenades. There's two nations. There's goats and sheep. There's saved and unsaved. Regenerated under. There's life and death. That's it. Darkness and light. Close don't count. But that another is not another. That wildly different is not close. It ain't. That difference in words is the same word, same thing here. Well, let's look at Esau's enough, verse 9. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. The Hebrew word there is rab, R-A-B. That means abundance, plenty. I have enough. I have plenty. I have plenty. I've heard a lot of people around this world throughout time be invited to hear the gospel preached, to come hear about God's grace, come hear about his love in Christ. And they say, you know what? I have enough. I got plenty. I got plenty. Well, we have a church. I got a church. I got plenty. I have church. I go every Easter. Whatever. Every Christmas or something. We go once a year. No, that's fine. Or I've heard people say, my tree stand is my pew. Let me articulate that for the West Coast. My boat is my pew. Oh, I see God in creation every time I ride up through the mountains or go hiking. Or they say I have enough in programs and activities and relationships where I am. Oh, all my friends go there. I got enough. Or my daughter just won't let up. I would leave, but, you know, my family goes there. And they won't leave me alone, and, you know, that's enough. I got plenty of family. Or I'm a good person. I've got plenty of righteousness. I can sanctify myself. I don't need to be saved. I've already chose to be redeemed. I know these things. I know stuff. A person can't be my wisdom. I got plenty of smarts. I understand that. Not once did Esau mention the Lord, did he? Abraham had 318 men servants. Esau came with 400. He business was a booming for 20 years, didn't he? He became a mighty man. But all of his plenty, all of his enough, it came from himself in his own eyes. Now, nobody was up at 5 o'clock in the morning with me. I got up by myself, and I made these decisions, and I worked hard, and I sweat by my brow. And who are you to tell me I ain't got enough? I've done this. You know what I did? That's what enough was for Esau. It was plenty, wasn't it? What's Jacob's enough? We do have plenty in the Lord. We do, don't we? In this material life, we got plenty. But it's more than that. Look here at verse 11. Genesis 33:11. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because you take everything I've given you, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. That Hebrew word is kol, K-O-L-E. It means W-H-O-L-E. Whole. Esau had plenty. He had an abundance. He had enough. Jacob has been made whole. I have completeness. God was gracious to me, and I'm whole. I'm whole. That's what these fellas that's skimming everybody out of the stock market's going to prison now for billions of dollars. They said, we're going to make them whole. We're going to make them people whole. No, you ain't neither. You can't put back, you might put money back. You can't put back wounds and destroyed relationships, can you? God can. And Jacob says, I'm whole. I've been made whole. Have you been made whole? Or do you just have plenty? Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present, things to come. It don't matter what it is, it's yours. And, like that wasn't enough, right? And ye are Christ's. You're a purchased possession, and Christ is God. What more you want? That's all things, isn't it? What does that mean? Does that mean we can go to our neighbor's house and just pull stuff out of the pantry and eat it? No, that's not what he's talking about, is it? That means I stand on my land that's mine. I say, this is sovereign land. I'm a sovereign citizen. And you ain't going to touch nothing that's inside of these, because I got a deed. No, you may be the sovereign citizen of 8x10 sale. You better watch that. We're not of this world. Lord owns the world. He'll do what he wants with it, isn't it? It's saying we have Christ. We have a person. We have a Lord over us. I'm whole because I have him. And all things are for my good. If a bird out there drops dead in a parking lot or it flies away or hovers and drinks out of a honeysuckle, that's for my good. That's for His glory. And His glory is my good. Is it yours? I'm made whole. You want a Hyundai Elantra? Knock yourself out. Take it. I don't. I got Him. I can walk to service. I live close. We are in Him. We are whole. That's the kind of enough I need. I don't need just a bunch. I don't need an abundance. I don't need plenty. I need to be made whole in a person as my head. Is Christ enough? Is He enough? Is He completely, wholly, solely, totally enough for you? What about all my wisdom? Is He wise? I don't have none. Is He wise enough to be my wisdom? To me, just cast all my care on Him and say, whatever this trial of Esau coming to chop my head off is, Lord, You did it. I believe You. You're my wisdom. Is He wholly my righteousness? Completely, totally. Or do I have just a little? Now, I've done some good stuff. I've done nothing. Well, we look at the first hour. Peter said, what's wrong with you? Get up. What you worship me for? I ain't God. Let me tell you about it. I'm just a man speaking on His behalf. Is He all my sanctification? And them scriptures are pretty plain on that, ain't they? He set people apart for His use, and He's declared them holy, and Christ is our sanctification. Can you improve on that? Or is He wholly your sanctification? What about my redemption? Did He come 99% and I went 1%? Did I take the first step, He did the rest? It's either all Him or nothing. Is He enough? What's more important for you and me? Is the Lord Jesus Christ enough for the Father? That's the question. Is He enough for our satisfaction, my contentment? The real question is He enough for the Father I offended? Is He enough for the Holy God I offended? He is. Is His blood, does it have the value that it's going to take to redeem His people? Is He holy enough in His person in that work of redemption to bear all the judgment and justice that I rightfully earned for eternity? Can He lay in the grave and then raise Himself up again? Is He enough for that? He is. Father raised Him, didn't He? So sit down. Stay right there. I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. Intercede for these people while you have. That's where He is, isn't it? There's a nation in this world that Christ is all. He's enough. He's whole. He's everything. He's everything. And there's a nation that he's pretty good. Just one little speck of leaven. Let's throw that in there. Leaven the whole lump. That's the two nations you see here. Two brothers. These twins. One says, I got plenty. And the other one says, I got Christ. Take what you want. Oh, Esau took it, didn't he? It's all right, I'll take it. We'll see what happens. It's going to get worse. The Lord told Jacob exactly what to do, where to go. He said, you go to the house of the Lord. He said, well, I'm going to take a little detour. Well, have we seen that before? Wasn't Abraham supposed to go somewhere? And he said, well, I'm going to go. My father-in-law's with me, you know. The Lord said, you choose your family over me. Is that what He said? If you take your mother, father, sister, brother, child, whatever, over me, you're not worthy to be my servants. Well, I ain't worthy. And Abraham wasn't worthy. And our father Abraham and our father Jacob and us sons of Jacob, we ain't worthy. God's faithful. Isn't it? All right. I about went and sat down. I'm going to sing another song, ain't we? Let's turn to hymn number 175. We'll stand and sing.